I want to begin a series of studies in some of the Old Testament passages, some of the wonderful stories given to us in the early part of our Bible. Now, the Old Testament is a very much neglected part of the Word of God. Some people seem to feel that it has been set aside by the New Testament and that we no longer need the Old Testament. But this is not true. Our Savior quoted from it many, many times, and the New Testament writers quote from it. As many as 800 quotations in the New Testament are taken from the Old. One of the early teachers in the church said the Old Testament is in the new patent, while the New Testament is in the old latent. Or, it's been put in these words, the new is in the old contained, the old is in the new explained. Or like this, in the old, the new is concealed, in the new, the old is revealed. I remember many years ago, an able Bible teacher, Mr. C.W. Ross from Kansas City, told me, John, find the New Testament, the doctrine in the New Testament, and then find an illustration of that truth in the Old Testament. Now, that's what I propose to do. We're going to turn to the Old Testament, the picture book of the New Testament. And I want to begin with the first page of your Bible with the story of creation. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, you may have a Bible that has the date 4004 B.C. at the top of the column, but that date was put there by a man named Usher, who did a little figuring and thought that that's what it meant. Actually, we have no dates. We cannot say when the world was created. If a scientist says that he needs a billion years, I say let him have his billion years. The only thing I insist upon is that no matter how long ago the world was created, God created it. I object to any theory, an evolutionary theory or any other, that wants to leave God out of his own creation. I believe the reason for such theories, the reason why people reject the biblical account of creation, is that they feel that they dare not think about a God who made this world and to whom we are responsible. Now, I'm glad to know that the God who made this world is my Heavenly Father, that the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the worlds were made, is the one who loved me enough to die for me to become my Savior. And because things are right between my soul and God, that is, my sins have been forgiven, I have been given eternal life, for that reason I have no fear of God or of thinking about meeting God, and I see no reason to crowd him out of his own universe. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then the next verse says, and the earth was without form and void. Literally, the earth became without form and void. I believe that some kind of a catastrophe took place, probably through the rebellion of Satan. In any case, we know from other passages that God did not create the world in this waste and empty form. Now, when the world is spoiled by sin, God proceeded to do what is described in the first and second chapters of Genesis, to recreate the world. This he did in 6 days. This was not the original creation, as I understand it, but this was the recreation of the world, and it took place in 6 literal days of 24 hours each. I see no reason for changing this. The language used in the Bible itself indicates that this is what he did. Now, I'm concerned not so much with the fact of creation. Those who believe the Bible have no problem here. We're told by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. God created. That word means to make out of nothing. You and I can make things, but we have to have material. God created out of nothing by the power of His Word. Now, when God saw the condition of things brought about by sin, we're told the Spirit of God moved, or literally brooded, upon the face of the waters. God has always been disturbed by sin coming into His creation. He's disturbed by the sin in your life. He's disturbed by the sin in our country. He's disturbed by the sin in our community. God hates sin. And God could have turned His back on this creation. He could have obliterated it. But because God is love, out of pity to His creatures, and to bring everlasting honor and glory to our Savior, He set about to right these wrongs. Now, creation was in what we would call, in common language, one big mess. Everything was all mixed up where it didn't belong. The waters and the earth were not in place, and even the clouds and the water that should have been above the firmament was all mixed up with the rest. So God, first of all, in creation, righted the wrongs. That is, He put things in their right place. He changed that condition of chaos. He changed the world from a place that was waste and void into a place that was beautiful and orderly. The second thing He did was to fill up all the empty spaces. He filled the water full of fish. He filled the air full of birds. He filled the land with vegetation and with animals. And everything was put in its right place. God made these things as He wanted them to be. But that wasn't enough. Having righted the wrongs and filled up the empty spaces, there remained one very important thing. On the sixth day of creation, God made man, and He put man in charge of all his affairs. Now, that story has a sad sequel. That man failed. The first man, Adam, was a failure, a sinner. And as a result of that, we have the chaotic condition that we have in the moral world today. That's why you and I were born sinners, because our foreparents, Adam and Eve, sinned against God, and we inherited their fallen nature. You can't explain the condition the world is in by any other means. With all of the advantages we have, with all of the education we have, look at how men are at each other's throats today. And this is because the first man who was put in charge of the first creation failed. Now, when we turn to the New Testament, we find that God has done the very same thing in a new creation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we read these words, verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature," or literally, "If any man be in Christ, there is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God." That is, God is the author of this new creation as He was of the first creation. "Who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation." He's given us the privilege of telling others just what I'm about to tell you. Now, the new creation, as taught in our Bible, is not reformation. It's not religion. It isn't education. It's a brand new creation. It's called a new birth. The Lord Jesus said, "Except a man be born again," or born from above, "he cannot see the kingdom of heaven." Now, when a person is born into God's family, he receives a new kind of life that he never had before, God's life. And with that, a new motive, love for God. The law commanded this, but it couldn't produce it. But when we have received Christ as Savior, then we love the Lord, and we try to please Him. We have new interests. He says, old things are passed away. Paul says, the things I once hated, I now love. The things I once loved, I now hate. And oftentimes a young Christian, one newly come to the faith, is amazed at the change that he detects in himself. Now I'd like to suggest that the new creation follows the same order as the first creation. The first thing God does is to right the wrongs. Our problem is sin. There's no use calling it by some psychological name. The truth of the matter is, you and I have sinned against God. And without shedding of blood is no remission for sins. But he tells us in Acts 13, 38 and 39, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, the Lord Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. So God rights the wrong. He fixes things up right. Our consciences are no longer violated because we know that another has taken our place. Then he fills up the empty places. God knows that your intellect needs something, and so he gives you all that you need to know through his word. If you are a Christian, I hope you're finding all that you need in his word. Then he fills our heart with his love. And then, best of all, he puts a man in charge. And this man will never fail. The Lord Jesus Christ, if you will accept him as your Savior and let him be the Lord of your life and allow him to control every area of your life, you'll find out that the Lord Jesus can satisfy you completely. And instead of the failure of the old creation, there will be the joys of a new creation through Christ Jesus. Our Father, we thank thee that this is true, and we ask thee to bless thy word to all who have heard it just now. In our Savior's precious name, amen.